From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. It's been nearly 2 weeks since President Donald Trump erroneously tweeted that the state of Alabama would be in the path of Hurricane Dorian. The president decided to dig his heels in and crudely draw a line on a map of the hurricane in order to make his case for an impact on Alabama, leading to the reference of Sharpiegate to describe the entire debacle. Trump's apparent mistake has now ballooned into a controversy that has enveloped a major federal agency, the NOAA, or the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which contradicted its own National Weather Service in order to appease the president. Is Sharpiegate just a distraction, as some in the media have suggested? Or is it indicative of a greater problem within the Trump administration? My guest is Jacob Carter, research scientist for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. He formerly worked at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Welcome to the program, Jacob.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, looking at this story from afar, does it occur to you, or is it your assessment, that Trump probably just made a mistake? He threw in Alabama, perhaps without thinking, and then instead of saying, that's right, I accidentally said Alabama, he has now tried to distort reality to support his original mistaken claim?
No, I don't think that is what's happening. I mean, from the research that I do here with the Union of Concerned Scientists and the Center for Science and Democracy, this is just one attack on science that has happened in a much larger context. In my research, what I've seen is a longer line and pattern from this administration where science has been manipulated, where scientists are being censored, and where science is just being tossed out of decision-making altogether. So I don't think this is just something that the president got wrong. I think this is part of a bigger pattern where the president and his administration are sidelining science from the decision-making process at every possible decision, science-based decision that they make.
So you think that it was perhaps deliberate that Trump put out information implicating the state of Alabama?
I don't think it was necessarily deliberate, but I do think we do have a president who really has sort of a distaste for scientific information and that information being used in decision making. We know that the forecast for Hurricane Dorian did not include Alabama in its path, and that is coming from the scientific experts. The president had that wrong. I think we saw that from images where a map of the path of that hurricane had been clearly distorted through someone using, probably the president, a Sharpie marker, which is not what you want to rely on when you're looking at forecasts of severe weather that could really impact people's lives.
So you think he was just sort of cavalier with the truth?
I think he wanted to double down on what he thought was correct. But what we saw from the actual scientific experts, which the Birmingham National Weather Service office tweeted out, was that Alabama was never at risk of being hit by this hurricane. It was not in the path of this hurricane. And that was coming from the scientific experts themselves. These are people who the American people rely on the forecasting of these scientific experts every day. Not to mention, this was an office who did a stellar job and won awards for their help looking at severe tornado occurrences that had occurred just in a year prior. So these are really great meteorologists who are working for the American people, and the president really sidelined them on this issue.
So essentially, Trump tweeted that a number of states, including Alabama, would be impacted by this Category 5 hurricane. And the National Weather Service in Birmingham immediately tweeted, they didn't say Trump is wrong. They just stated the fact. They said, Alabama will not see any impacts from Dorian. We repeat, no impacts from Hurricane Dorian will be felt across Alabama. The system will remain too far east. And of course, this is critical because those living in Alabama, listening to the president, might start to panic and wonder if they have to stock up on supplies, evacuate, get ready to abandon their homes, or who knows what, make preparations. And so, of course, the National Weather Service needs to be seen as trustworthy, and it seems as though they were fulfilling their duty in making very clear what the science says, right?
I think that's correct. And I think it's also important to note here that that office has said repeatedly that they never saw the president's tweet go out, the tweet from the president that said that Alabama would be included in this path. What they were responding to is exactly what you referred to, was that they had worried residents who had seen the president's tweet calling into the office, that were worried about family members that could be located along the coast, elderly people that they would need to go and move outside of the hurricane's path if the hurricane was indeed going to hit Alabama. So in response to the citizens of Alabama who were generally concerned about their well-being, the National Weather Service employees had to tweet out the actual scientific reality, which is that the hurricane path was not did not include Alabama, that Alabama was not going to be hit by this hurricane.
So at 8:11 a.m. on September 1st, or rather 7:51 a.m. on September 1st, the leader of the nation tweets out wrong information, and minutes later at 8:11 a.m. on that same date, the National Weather Service in Birmingham has, which is a federal agency under a federal department, had to put out correct information. And there you had things just snowball, and the doctored map come out. And then you had the NOAA, which is the parent agency of the National Weather Service, the National Oceanic and Administration, Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, put out a statement. They didn't give a name for the spokesperson that the statement was attributed to. And this was several days later. And it basically said that the Birmingham National Weather Service's Sunday morning tweet spoke in absolute terms that were inconsistent with probabilities from the best forecast products available at the time. So essentially saying the NWS shouldn't have done what it did. It was too absolute. How do you respond to this extraordinary statement, this rebuke by the NOAA?
I think for an agency to distort the scientific findings of the experts who were working tirelessly on these forecasts is really problematic. And in fact, we have the chief scientist of the NOAA now investigating whether or not this was a violation of the own agency's scientific integrity policy, which clearly states that senior appointees and political officials who were, as we were coming to find out through more reporting on this news every day, were likely involved and distorted this scientific fact for political reasons. We have seen, in the reporting from the Washington Post, the New York Times now, that Mick Mulvaney was likely involved, who is the chief of staff at the White House, who likely told the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, to fix the issue, to not have these employees contradict what President Trump had tweeted out. And it's and then Wilbur Ross actually called the acting head of NOAA to tell him to release a statement or correct the issue so that the employees were not contradicting the president. And there has been reporting that the Secretary of Commerce, Ross, actually threatened to fire senior appointees at the NOAA if they did not release such a statement saying that the president's president's allegations of Alabama being in this path of the hurricane were correct. So this is a distortion that we're seeing for political reasons. The science was accurate. It's not like you have a senior appointee questioning the scientific merit or the intellectual merit of what these forecasters were doing. This is simply to appease the president's ego, it seems.
Right. The NOAA statement said that the Birmingham National Weather Service's tweets were inconsistent with probabilities from the best forecast products available at the time. They didn't cite what those were. It would have been interesting to see what those best forecasts were. Show the evidence. And in fact, Trump has maintained repeatedly that there was evidence that Alabama was in the path, that early predictions showed Alabama being in the path. As far as you know, was Alabama ever in the path, even according to early predictions?
What we see now from reporting that is occurring is that from very early models, there may have been a 5% chance from one forecasting model that showed that a part of Alabama may have been in Dorian's path, but it would have been at the time that it would have been reduced to a tropical storm. At the time that the president actually tweeted out this inaccurate statement, the forecasting models were no longer showing that. So it is completely inaccurate and incorrect to say that Alabama would have been affected by Hurricane Dorian.
So let's broaden the framework here, because if you have a administration that is so hell-bent on appeasing the president's ego, as you put it, by distorting science, by threatening firings of federal employees, by directing from the top, and we know now, according to the New York Times, that acting chief of staff Mick Mulvaney was the one who directed Wilbur Ross to ask the NOAA to support the president. If we have such a situation, to you, does that show such a disdain for science as to threaten American public safety? We're talking about one hurricane here that where the president's words could have caused a mass panic in one state. But we have the broader issue of climate change that is driving these larger and larger hurricanes. How has the president's disdain for science shown its effect over the past year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, actually?
Yeah, so this, of course, is but one attack on science of many. In my own research now, I have documented 120 times where similar situations have occurred. This issue with NOAA really blew up, but we work on across many different issues of attacks on science where political interference has occurred across all kinds of different agencies, federal agencies that work in the science realm. Most of these attacks have occurred at agencies where there is environmental work being done. So the Environmental Protection Agency or the Department of Interior and its bureaus within. So climate change has been one issue that has definitely been attacked time and time again, and we see that the majority of our attacks on science actually fall within that issue. But there are other issues that this administration really wants to sideline science on as well, including the listing of endangered species, keeping Americans' air and water clean as well. So it really runs the gamut.
So how important is it to investigate what has happened at the NOAA? We know now that even the there's a House committee, the House Committee on Science, Space and Technology has opened an investigation into the episode. You know, there's a lot of people who feel like, well, this is just a small distraction. We should be investigating much, much bigger things that Trump is doing. The media is too obsessed with this issue, with Sharpiegate. Because it's easy to make fun of the president. How important is it to investigate this one issue?
I think it's incredibly important. These decisions that are often informed by science or should be informed by science are done so for a reason, and it's because science is still our best way about figuring out natural phenomenon that cover in the world, and that includes being able to accurately predict and forecast when severe weather is going to, if it's going to hit your state, so that people have time to prepare, to vacate if they need to gather up their loved ones. We're talking about issues that could really harm people, and I don't think this is talked about often enough. It's often the most underserved communities, low-income communities, communities of color, that are really impacted when science is left out of the decision-making process. And so I think it's incredibly important that we maintain that science inform political decisions without undue political interference. So I think it's incredibly important that these investigations are happening. It was incredibly heartening to me to see that the chief scientist is launching an investigation of whether this violates the scientific integrity policy. The inspector general at the Department of Commerce is also opening an investigation. And as you pointed out, the House Science and Technology Committee is doing an investigation as well. And those will be incredibly important, and we'll be monitoring their findings as they come out.
Should Wilbur Ross resign?
Yes, we think that Wilbur Ross should resign. This was really disheartening. You really don't want political officials asking senior officials who agree with their scientists, their scientific experts, to politicize those scientific decisions, especially when we're talking about decisions that, once again, can really impact people's lives. I mean, people's lives could have been on the line here. If we had really agreed that Alabama was going to be in the path, what if emergency management funding had been directed towards that versus other places that really needed? These are really critical decisions. And science should remain at the forefront so that we get our decisions on these issues correct.
I mean, if President Trump's, if the Trump administration is allowed to get away with this, what's next, right? I mean, and essentially that's what we have feared right from the start with this presidency. His attitude has been, especially to his base, that they should trust him over all other evidence, that they should not trust the media, they should not trust science, they should not trust maybe even their own eyes. They should trust what the president says. And there you have the end of rational thinking and the rise of demagoguery, completely antithetical to science and rationality and to our future of our species, because of course we stand at a critical breaking point on climate change.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, climate change scientists are now saying that we're in this climate crisis where we have 11 years to really get our act together if we want to keep warming to 2 degrees Celsius or under, at which point we know that there will be really catastrophic consequences. So, if we are not able to achieve that, obviously there are already casualties happening from climate change. There will certainly be more after, if we do reach this tipping point. And so then it becomes a question of how many casualties do we continue to have at the expense of science being politicized.
Jacob, you worked at a government agency, the Environmental Protection Agency. Do you feel that the staff of these sorts of agencies, like the EPA, like the NWS, the NOAA, are holding down the fort, maybe just awaiting a change of administration as they continue to do their work, because they're seeing the work that they do become be constantly undermined by the nation's political leader? I imagine it might be a very demoralizing time to be a federal scientist under the Trump administration today.
I do think the scientific workforce is doing, the best they can. When we talk about forecasters that are working to make sure that the American people know about severe weather that's going to hit their area, we're talking about people that sometimes stay the night within their offices to make sure that people are getting the most relevant and accurate information that they possibly can. These are people that really dedicated to their work, to their jobs. They're passionate about it, and they're passionate about serving the American people. We actually conducted a survey in 2018 of federal scientists and scientific experts, and we asked about the state of science, including scientific integrity and these attacks on science that we're seeing through the Trump administration. And what we heard from scientists is that they are following the scientific integrity policies they feel. They're really adhering to it. They're sticking together as a community. But it's really senior officials and leaders who, at their agencies, who are politicizing science that are really proving problematic. Now, with that said, we do see under the Trump administration lower morale, lower job satisfaction. A lot of scientists don't feel like they can be completely effective at their jobs to fulfill their science-based missions of their agencies. So while there does seem to be this sort of community and support within the agencies of the scientific community, they're also very aware of what's going on with leadership, especially regarding political appointees, and that is harming the morale of the scientific workforce.
And then finally, Jacob, as we enter into a new climate chapter on in the planet, isn't it true that hurricanes do become harder to predict as they get stronger? Our weather has become erratic. Forecasting is becoming, because there's so many more variables, because heating is triggering so many different variables. Does the work that these scientists do become more challenging? Even predicting the path of a hurricane, I imagine, is challenging, but I'm, you know, obviously not an expert. And so having their work be undermined by a president or even questioned by a president may be even more complicated.
There's certainly importance to continuing doing climate change work. You know, I can say as a climate change scientist that we still don't know everything. And that's why we need to continue this scientific work to continue forecasting and continue modeling what's going to happen with these hurricanes in the future. We believe they're going to be more extreme in the future. That's what the research is saying. It's a little bit more difficult to say whether or not they will be more frequent in the future. So we still need researchers doing that scientific work to make sure that the American people are safe from these extreme events that are likely to increase in the future. That is a lot more challenging to do under an administration that does not value climate change work or a lot of the other work that scientists are doing within federal agencies. What we see a lot is that scientists try to stay under the radar by self-censoring themselves, trying to use other terminology besides climate change. And then we see other federal scientific experts eventually walk outside of the agency, which is also really disheartening because that's one less federal scientific expert that the American people have at their disposal.
Well, Jacob, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Yeah, you can follow us at www.ucsusa.org.
And we'll post that to our website. Thanks so much, Jacob.
Thank you.
My guest has been Jacob Carter, research scientist for the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. We've been discussing the so-called Sharpiegate controversy and why it is important to follow that through. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and on Spotify.